turn around is but God, but God, but God, but God. They said I wouldn't, but God. They said I couldn't, but God. They said I should have been dead, but God. They said I should have been sick, but God. They said I never should have made it, but God. Come on and just shout. You're grateful, said
God did.
Yeah. Everybody say God did.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
I receive it, I'm blessed.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 38, the scripture says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." We should love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Don't you know we love God with all that? It'll limit the amount of sin we do. What's the remedy for not sinning? I'll give you the answer. Love. See, when you really love something, you value it. You treasure it. When we really love God, we value our relationship with God. When you really love an individual, you value that individual, which means that you won't hurt it, which means that you're going to honor it. So here he's saying, if you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to worry about the 618 commandments of the Old Testament, because you'll keep them all just because you love God. Y'all know the song, "I love God." If you really love him, the Bible says we'll keep his. Why? Because the love is there. Extravagant love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now, let's be honest. How many know the world is attractive? Let me explain. Just like there's a kingdom culture, the culture of God, the things of the world are attractive to our flesh. Their music is attractive, the beat, the words, the activities. I thank God the world had some wisdom. They used to put out these commercials that said, "Say no to drugs." Why would you have to put out a commercial that says, "Say no to drugs"? Because even in the world, we understand that drugs are attractive. What would make a person drink a beer? I remember the first time I drank a beer, Budweiser. I drank it. I said, "Man, this is nasty." Don't you know that devil told that individual to tell me it's an acquired taste? It's an acquired taste. The next time it's still nasty. I must have not acquired it yet. But don't you know, because of the pull of the world, I kept drinking, and I kept drinking, and I kept drinking. After a while, it became. And that's how the devil does all sin. It'll start off, "No, I won't do that." But you do it long enough, your flesh will say, "It's all right." And you see enough people in the world doing it. I'll dress like the world, talk like. Who wants to curse? Who wants to say MF blankety blank 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 blank? Well, you don't until you start hearing other people do it. So now you MF blankety blank, 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 blankety blank, blank, blank. It was foolish before you started. But because of the pull of the world, the enticement of worldliness, we become like them. Testify of the devil is a lie. Yeah, because of his love for me, I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to keep my mouth pure. I'm going to keep my mind pure. I'm going to guard my ear gate. I'm going to guard my eye gates. All these things that will cause me to stumble into the pleasures of the world. I want you to know the Bible even says that sin feels good for a season. If it didn't feel good, it wouldn't be temptation. See? But I understand, Sister Brownlee, the process of sin and how it works. The Bible says that it begins with temptation. We're tempted by those things in our carnal nature that we desire. Everybody likes something. My thing may not be your thing. Now, within us, we can all be tempted by the same thing, but there are certain things that attract us more than others. Anybody ever been attracted by something in the world? That's everybody. But there's certain things that attract you. You know, that's why we can't judge the next man. Say, I can't believe they done that. I'd heard people say somebody that would sleep with a child. That's just horrible. I can't believe that they, you know, would be a pedophile. I just can't believe it. But you gossip all the time. Prideful, arrogant. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Amen. Am I preaching? So how can you hold one person's sin over them, but yet you got five more fingers pointing back at you saying you just as sinful? Just about to thank God for his extravagant love. Because in his extravagant love, he loved us in spite of, sent his son and drew us by his spirit that we might say yes to the Lord, get saved, and live for him. But I didn't forget, Sister Brown, the process of sin. So it starts with being tempted, the Bible says. And after we're tempted, we're enticed, and we're drawn away. Once we submit to it, it becomes sin. See, it's not sin because you're tempted. All of us are tempted. Somebody say amen. You can turn me back up now. All of us are tempted, but it's not until it becomes to where we yield to the temptation that it becomes sin. So once we say yes, now when anybody ever sinned and just felt bad, that's good. That means you saved. See, an unsaved person don't feel bad about sin. That's a lifestyle. That's how you know. Because when you're unsaved, it's a practice. It's a lifestyle to sin. It's what you do. You do what feels good to you. But when you get saved because you have an honor for God, you have a connection with God, you have the Holy Spirit, sin bothers you. So you go from temptation. There it is. That is, oh, help me, Lord. Doggone. The doggone is when you know you've sinned. For those of you from the north or whatever, doggone means I shouldn't have done it. Doggone. Shoot, shucks. Dad is. So now you've done it. Here's the key, though. You're in sin now. Every sin has a consequence. The Bible says it goes from temptation to sin to death. See, when we think about death, we normally think about 6 foot under in the grave, you know, going to hell. Death really just means the judgment. There's a judgment for every sin. So we never get away with sin. Because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, his blood forgives us, and heaven is our home as long as we confess the sin. But that still does not take away the consequence or the judgment or the death for that particular sin. So if I'm holding on to stuff on the inside and I'm bitter, who knows? That bitterness on the inside could cause physical cancer. I'm having sexual relations outside of marriage with multiple people. Well, you confess it. He'll forgive you. You're going to heaven, but you might catch herpes, HIV, AIDS. Somebody may come kill you because you slept with the wrong one. You just don't, you don't know the death cycle, the penalty for the sin. Unless God shows you, you don't know what the, that's why it's just best not to do it. He forgives you. He loves you. You know, hey, it's just one party. It's just one party. Everybody who's anybody, they're going to be there. I could be saved and go to a party. Hey, what's wrong with that? But at that one party, they slipped that one thing in the drink. And that one thing in the drink threw you off for the next 10, 15 years in your life. It's just one smoke among friends, but you didn't know it was laced with something because they didn't tell you. And it messed up your mind. You were in your sophomore year of college. And now you don't know what college is anymore. One puff. Temptation. Sin. Death. God's love for us is extravagant. He loves us. But it does not take away the judgment for sins that we commit. So in his love for us, he says, keep my commandments. See, a lot of times people think, you know, God is just trying to be mean. God don't want me to have fun. And I want to have fun. I want to have fun, fun, fun. I want to have fun. And the world offers fun. You guys are offering all these rules. But rules are a sign of love. And I'm not talking about dictatorship, but I'm talking about boundaries, standards, parameters. These things are guidelines that show somebody love you. Don't you stay out past 11. My friends get to stay out. Why? Why not? Well, who knows what's going to happen after 11? I mean, you know, I know when I was out there doing devilment, the later the better. Somebody say grace. Oh, my God. You don't know what demon was hanging around out there. What devil? Who was in there plotting against you and you didn't know it? But God's grace and mercy covered us. Thank God somebody was praying. Thank God that you went to church that one time. Now, I don't advocate one-time church attendance. I advocate church attendance lifestyle. But I'm just saying, you went there one time and you happened to hear something that said, oh, well, I better not do that. Something telling me I better not drink that. I better not go with him. I better not listen to her. Something's telling me something. Something's telling me. The Spirit of God. I told you, I tried, I'm not preaching long. I told you, my new goal is 35 minutes. Because I tell you, I love visitors, and visitors love messages. They'll enjoy what they hear. But something about the enemy tell you, that service was long. So I'm trying not to be long. Amen. But y'all come back on Wednesday, and I'm going to be long. That's an hour, guaranteed. But my new method is not to preach long, okay? I was almost done. I covered all my bases, my Greek words, amen, my historical references, got outline. All right, so our love for God, but remember that about sin. Know that there's an enemy. See, God loves us. God is so loving. Watch this. I'm getting this while I'm up here talking to you. He even loves Satan, y'all. How could he not? He is love. Even in his love, he allowed his judgment on Satan to tarry. King James for wait. Because he is love. So God's love for us is extravagant. Our love for him should be extravagant. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures. Look at David and say, don't you be tempted. Don't you be tempted. Don't be tempted. In baseball, strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out.